Support for the following podcast is provided by the User Experience Specialists at Johns & Taylor. More information follows this episode.
What would you do if your dream job started turning you into someone you didn't like? I'm Joe Taylor Jr. This is Search and Replace. Today's story hits close to home on a few levels. Our guest, Danielle Lewis, is the sister of our series producer, Nicole Hubbard. A few years ago, Danielle started working in her dream job as an emergency medical technician, an EMT. Like most first responders, Danielle endured tremendous pressure on the job, physical, emotional, and social. She started observing the effects of that pressure on the people we depend on to help save our lives.
The first things I started to notice were just, you had to always be abrasive. Oh, don't cry, or you're tough. You don't need to let this get to you. And it was just like, wow, I felt shut down in every way. I'm functioning as a paramedic. It's a hard job, but in the opposite realm of my life, I'm a human. And I was just being made fun of for kind of having these emotional, like in tune reactions and responses to things. And one thing that really sticks out was I had lost my mother to cancer, and I came back to work 2 days after her funeral and had to work a 12-hour shift. And I remember going into this office that we had after my shift, and I was crying, and someone actually came up and was like making fun of me for crying. It was a coworker, and it was just devastating. And it was this reality that I'm not going to be putting up with this. Like, this is not what I want. I don't want to feel like who I am as a human isn't going to be respected, because my job's hard as it is. Every other aspect of my job is hard. And if I can't feel like I can be my whole self, I don't really want to choose that anymore.
So Danielle started thinking maybe it's time for her to quit her EMT job. But that's where the conflict really started. She loved her job. She still wanted to play that role in her community, and she wanted to be there for her colleagues.
I had to ground myself in my decisions, making sure it wasn't like too quick of a change, like, oh, I'm just going to leave because it's annoying me, or I don't like this job again. And like, when, no, just not just a bad day at work, that I knew it was something big. And after about a year, I knew. And that's when I left and transitioned out. So it was monumental. And I still love the field. I still love the job, but I knew it wasn't good for me anymore. I could feel it deep down. I knew it in the way I was interacting with people in my life, my loved ones, my friends, the misery of, oh, I have to go to work again. Like, I knew it. So it was just starting to listen to that. And then I finally was able to make the change.
Danielle tells us that she wasn't alone in making this huge decision.
I am extremely lucky. I have a very supportive family. And we had all gone through a hard time with my mom passing. And a lot of us had these things starting to brew up in us, those moments where you're like, am I doing what I want to do with my life? Because I can see how quickly it can end. As soon as I offered that up to my loved ones, they're like, yes, do it. Because this has been bothering you for so long. You're talking about it. You're being honest about it. You obviously know what you want to do now. You feel better about it. Why not follow it? Yeah, it's going to be scary. Change isn't great. The possibility of leaving a job, your big girl job, you're getting paid, you have a career and you're leaving it. Yeah, that's scary, but you want it and it's important to you and your meaning is important. And if you believe that and trust in that and see a journey for yourself, you have to take it, because you don't have forever to make these changes. So as soon as you feel like it's time and you're ready, it's definitely time. That's the true feeling. You follow your gut. That's never bad advice to give.
So what do you do when your dream job doesn't live up to its ideals? For Danielle, her journey involves going back to school for the degrees she'll need to work as a counselor, specializing in helping first responders overcome the same challenges she saw on the job.
That is the best opportunity for me to be able to learn about so many different aspects of the mind and cognitions and learn coping mechanisms and skills to integrate. But also, I think I still have that personality, the understanding of what it's like to be in their shoes, the understanding of the pressure that comes from community, society, your agency, from every other side of you. And then you're left with, well, I have to take care of myself too. But I also experienced seeing my coworkers and my friends just get run into the ground and become versions of themselves that weren't the best version of themselves. I saw relationships fall apart, We see people get addicted to substances, and I've been given all of these tools that I feel well prepared to go right back in and be like, let me help you. Because I know how hard it is to feel like you're the only one suffering. There just needs to be this ability to talk about it and to learn about it and to be in it together. And I feel like I can offer that as soon as I finish my degree, and I'm willing to jump right back in because I feel like it's worth it.
Danielle's experience reflects a conversation many of us are having about the health and well-being of the people we rely on to see us through accidents, emergencies, and natural disasters.
I love the community that I worked for, and I love the county, but it is so important for community members and society to start asking questions. Start asking questions how agencies are taking care of their employees. Start advocating for first responders because they need it. We're all saying thank you to our first responders. Thank you during this pandemic. Thank you for all you do. But it's time to advocate and ask, but what is the community doing for them? How are they being served? How is their mental health? What kind of wellness is their agency giving them? Is it okay that they're not giving them these skills? Is it okay that these agencies are getting away with this? We are doing so much research on veterans and PTSD and how we serve that community. We need to advocate as well for first responder communities. And that's extremely important because it's going to keep being that quieted, stigmatized area if we don't talk about it and bring it forth to community members and decision makers in our community. And that's how we all can help serve our first responders.
That's Danielle Lewis, former EMT and current Columbia University student. There's much more to this conversation about the mental health of first responders and about what you might learn from Danielle's experience of shifting her views about her profession. Follow the link in our show notes to our companion series, Everything We Found. There, we've posted our full conversation. You'll find that on our website at searchandreplace.show. I'm Joe Taylor Jr.
This has been a Podcast Taxi Radio production. Support for Search and Replace is provided by Johns & Taylor, user experience specialists serving media and technology companies that want their websites to work. Learn more about how top-performing businesses eliminate barriers between customers and their goals at www.makethewebsiteworkforme.com.